Heavenly Father, I'm going to tune my ear to Pastor Jacques' teaching. I'm not going to talk. I'm not going to play with my phone. I'm going to have all ear. Speak, Lord. Amen. Now, we're going to record this message today. Everything is set? Good. And it'll go on the internet. So last week we preached about, what was the name of my message last week? Hear Jesus. And I went in the scripture in the Mount of Transfiguration, okay? Or the Mount of Transfiguration, whatever you want to call. And we looked at what had happened there. There was a thing that went from the Old Testament, the laws, and the prophets, plural, and how it was transferred to Jesus, and God spoke, and he said, I am very pleased with my son. Hear him. In other words, hear his message. And his message is all over the Bible. And I think the more I study kingdom, the more I'm starting to think different. See, we are very naturally minded, right? If you go to university, they will have a kingdom mindset in the fact that this is what you do, this is how you get there, this is what you have to do to finish your grade and study and all that stuff. There's a kingdom mentality there. Here in Canada, in this city, we have kingdom mentality. This is what you do. We come to this church, you sit down, you talk, whatever. This is only church. That's not going to qualify you for anything. What will qualify you for everything, it's that you understand the kingdom of God. How many understand that? Unless we understand how it's working, we can't make it work, is it? Next week, we may look again at the kingdom or the keys. The keys are so important. So today we're going to look at the kingdom, okay? The Bible is not a religious book, is that right? Is it? It's the Word of God. And in it has all the keys that we need to succeed in life. Paulette, you were talking about some keys, and you gave the glory to Jesus, but you have learned some keys over the years. Everyone in this room is special. Anyone in this room, I'm just going to go on keys for a minute. You can have a keys to open the kingdom of God. And most of us, we come in the kingdom. It's like you come in into this big room with a key. And most of us died in the lobby. Most of us, including me, you know, I'm just... Because there's still keys there. To live upon this earth, to function in the kingdom of God, because the kingdom of God is here. It is at hand. So we're going to look at some scripture in a minute. So we looked at Luke 16:16, which says, the law and the prophet were until John. Dividing line, okay? And since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached. Since John came, he preached the kingdom of God, repentance, okay? And the third verse says, and everyone is pressing into it. Do you see people pressing into church? Not really. They don't. I mean, there's a ball game over there, or there's a boat ride or something, they're going to press into the boat ride because they live a different lifestyle, and it's just the pleasure or me or whatever. And God is saying here that the people are going to be pressing towards the kingdom of God. If the kingdom of God is preached, people come, they want to hear. Because there's repentance, there's a changed life. They see you are different. If people don't see that you're different, chances are you're not operating in the kingdom of God. Because when people look at you, say there's something different, because you're operating in the kingdom of God to a certain degree. You can always go more and more until you get to the place where things really change. So we looked at officially, there was a change of kingdom. And the word kingdom here, I will say government. Did I say right? Government. Okay. So I want to ask you a question. This is, now I'm going to pick at your brain. Why did Jesus come to earth? Salvation. Why did Jesus come into this earth? I can't hear. To save the people. Yep. Yes. Okay, so we're going to put that he gave. This is great. But that's only the end of his life. Jesus always preached the kingdom. He came to preach the kingdom of God, and he was trying to tell everybody about the kingdom, which is the Pharisee. Pharisees were religious, meaning this is what you do, this is how you do, blah, 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 whatever. It has nothing to do with the kingdom. I'm asking you to reconsider the kingdom of God today, meaning look at it biblically. Sometimes we get religious. We're just like the Pharisee. I do it too, and we do it in our ways, what we do and how we do what we say. And Jesus came to abolish religion. Because religion will tell you, this is what you wear, this is what you do. How can we appease a God if you go further down? Because God is angry. There's tornado and there's war and God is angry. So let's give him an offering and let's give him a bit of money or let's give him this. Maybe we'll appease him. We don't want to be there, do we? We don't want to think that way. What you give it to God, no strings attached. What you believe the word of God because he's given us the kingdom. He's given us his word. So sometime you got to dig a little bit and find out a few things. And that's what we want to do today, okay? Can you put Luke 4, 43? This is what Jesus says. But he said to them, I must preach the kingdom of God to the other city also. Meaning he's going from city to city, okay? Because for this purpose I have been sent. Now I want you to change your mindset here. God's purpose was to send his son to teach the kingdom of God. How to live in the kingdom. How to operate in the kingdom. We take it that, and it's not bad that God sent his son so he could die on the cross. And when he died on the cross, we're saved. We put all our hope in heaven, but Jesus came so you could have hope on this earth. The kingdom of God is at hand. It is here. We don't see it. I remember the big guy that used to sit here, Ron. Ron's hope. That's what he said all the time. Awesome guy, right? You know Ron, I mean. It was that he would be raptured before he died. All his hope was in a time of rapture, I don't have to die. And you know, sometimes we make our belief easy. Well, I don't want to die, so I believe that I'll be raptured. And then, so why don't we? It doesn't matter about the rapture. It matters that we live into this life successfully according to what Jesus said and did. Because the kingdom of God is ours. Let's get a hold of it. So for what purpose was the Son of Man came? He came to teach. And I want you to have that mindset. Jesus came to taught me about the kingdom. He came, and I want you to see maybe another scripture. I'll give you another scripture here. Go to Acts chapter 1, I think it's verse 3. Can you put that? Acts 1. To him he also presented himself alive after his suffering, by many infallible proof, being seen by them during 40 days after he was rose again, right? And speaking about his death and resurrection. What did he talk about 40 days? He spoke about the kingdom of God, things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So there you go. He rose from the dead, accomplished whatever, you know, brought the kingdom of God to the open. And he's talking 40 days about the kingdom of God. If it would not be important, he wouldn't have talked about it another 40 days. So he's really saying, church, you got to get it. The kingdom of God, that's what I came from. That's what I came for. And so it just speaks to you that way, right? Okay. So our mindset has to change. Let me see. Somewhere we turn to religion. Religion is the opposite of the kingdom of God. Opposite of fear is faith, right? You either have faith or you have fear. When the doctor tells you there's nothing I can do, you either believe or you have a fear, right? I don't want to lose my line of thought there, just a minute. So do you understand that the religious people were against Jesus because he taught the kingdom of God? So let's turn to the king. Who's the king? Jesus is the king. Go to Matthew chapter 6. I think it's verse 8. Is it? Yes. Therefore, no, that's not the one. Let me check. The Lord's Prayer. Is it 13? 9? Okay, go 9. No. Let me look at it. Okay. There we go. Sorry, I was off one verse. See, when you're off one verse, mess up everything. And Jesus, they asked Jesus, how do you pray? Good question. And he said, this is how you pray. Our Father in heaven, blessed be your name. Does that sound good? Our Father in heaven, blessed be your name. Meaning that's what we did when we worshiped today. Father, we worship you, we praise you. That's a form of prayer. And then he says, your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I like that verse. What is the will of God in heaven? You know, is there war in heaven? Is there sickness in heaven? Is there confusion and evil and every works in heaven? So he's saying, okay, this is heaven's kingdom. Let your will or your kingdom be established the same as heaven on earth. So I'm saying to you, we've got to be a people kingdom-minded. Because when we're kingdom-minded, we're more like heaven. You know, we say we focus on heaven and oh yeah, and we say, okay, well, we'll suffer for a while. And you know what? There could be suffering. That's fine. There could be sickness and disease. But there's overcoming also. Because the time when you start looking at the kingdom of God and live by the kingdom of God, things will begin to change in your life. It will. It's not going to be the same. I mean, we can lay down or die, or we can believe to think kingdom-minded. And we can do that. So, and then we could go on, and he's teaching how to pray, and it says, give us this day our daily bread. Funny that he doesn't say that right away after. Give us today our daily bread and that kingdom come. He puts the kingdom before the bread. That's what's important. You can say, well, he usually puts things in line what is more important, and the kingdom is more important than the meal you're going to have when you go home at lunchtime. It's more important. Because this is daily bread. This is the kingdom of God, right? All right. So let's look at kingdom-minded. I mean, I can only bring a little bit, you know, in a few minutes. Otherwise, you'll be here all day, and you probably won't retain very much. Now, if, for example, something clicking in your brain about the kingdom of God, I'm allow you to shout. So if something clicks, you understand something, light comes on, you can say, woo! I think it's Bill does that or something, right? So you can do that, then I'll know something clicked, because when you're listening to me, something has to click somewhere. Otherwise, I'm not talking right. I'm not saying the right thing. I'm not explaining anything right. Okay. Kingdom has a king. How many understand that? Yeah, I didn't give you a license, Builder. And we heard this because last week I said, God says, hear him, okay? Who is the King of Kings? Jesus. So you have to understand that. Everything is Jesus. He's the King. He made him Lord. He died for you. And most of all, I'm going to say today, most of all today, he's teaching you the kingdom of God. Something that we all need to understand and to live in. Because the way you're going to live in the kingdom is going to be different than the way you're going to live in this world. Because the world has taught you different things. You're from Ukraine, you learn different things. You guys, I don't know where you're from. Mississauga, you probably learn a lot of this stuff. And you say you're from New York or what? No. All right. So every one of us has learned different things. And God says, the kingdom of God is at hand. Now forget. It's not that you forget what you're doing, but you start to live different, so you affect other people. And when people look at you, they say, you've got something that somebody else don't have, and I want that. See, the kingdom of God, people are attracted to it. So they'll be attracted to you if you become kingdom of God-minded. Okay. Kingdom as a king. Kingdom as a territory. So we see a king. What's the territory? What is the territory? The hurt. God wants his kingdom to be in the earth. See, man in, I believe it's in the third chapter of Genesis, lost dominion in the garden. They were supposed to be there and to subdue it, to take authority over all the earth. And guess what happened? Satan came. And Jesus came back. Why? To restore the kingdom. He came back because the hurt belongs to the devil. He took it from Adam and Eve. Now he went. He died, got the key from hell, and he's taking, he said, there's the key. They are the key to the kingdom. You don't understand anything. We're just like the apostle with him for 3.5 years, and they couldn't figure out. After he told them 14 times that he was going to die, they still would not understand. That's why when you pray and seek God, and then you open your Bible, God will open it to show you things. It's revealed. It's not read. It's revealed. Okay? So the earth, the Bible is the constitution and the law. Right? So it is in there. There's things you don't want to do. Things, just normal thing, it's law, right? How you treat people and all that stuff. I mean, you can be unsaved, not knowing about the kingdom of God, and be a very nice person. Because, okay? So, the Bible, okay, I've got the New Testament just here, is the rules, regulation, the Old Testament too. Number four is ruling authority. A government has ruling authority. And that's very important because people think because you got Jesus, you can do whatever you want. You can go to whatever church you want. You can not get involved. You can whatever, but it's not true. The government of God has a ruling authority. Are you under people? Are you over people? Do you have people over you? And those people under you have people under them. And that's government. That's if you go to your place where you work, that's the government. There's rule, there's law, and this is how you do things. And you go to another organization, it might be the same a bit, it would be different, whatever. But we're talking about the kingdom of God, so it has ruling authority. And I want to take you to I got enough time to. It's so awesome about the centurion. Matthew 8:8. We're going to read that about the centurion. You know what? He came to Jesus, and his servant was sick. But this man understood rules of the kingdom. And he said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. Why was he not worthy? Because he wasn't a Jew, right? And that's why he was not worthy. He knew the rules. But he said, speak a word and my servant will be healed. Now that's pretty amazing that this centurion, which is over 6,000 soldiers, understood that Jesus had a kingdom, and he's not even a Jew, because he probably was in the same area, and centurion have to know who's the head of what. If there's any conflict, they're there. I mean, so he knew that Jesus healed people, probably did good thing, and then he came to the place where nobody can help. And there's going to be a place in your life where nobody can help. Maybe the doctor will say this. Maybe the bank will say this. Maybe something else will happen here. We didn't take your application. Sorry, come back and apply again. And there's nothing you can do about it. But this man understand. You know what he understood? He understood authority. His kingdom was Caesar in Rome. And the Roman kingdom was a really good kingdom in the fact that how it was set up. It lasted the most of all the kingdom, 450 some years, I forget now. So the kingdom, Roman kingdom, was good. Now Caesar was there, 1,000 miles away or whatever. And when the centurion was there and he said to his soldier, do this, he did it. He did it because authority went back to Caesar. If I don't do it, if I'm a little soldier under my centurion, if I don't do, I have to talk to Caesar. Because he represents Caesar. He represents Caesar, and I'm in trouble. Now, you have to understand the kingdom of God is the same. Jesus was there, and he understood about spiritual thing. The centurion said, you have authority in the spirit. You know God. And he went to Jesus. You know why? Because Jesus knew about the kingdom of God and how it worked. And what happened? And he said, just speak a word. Just speak a word. You know, when you went to Rome and in the arena and they had fight or something, if they went like this, what does that mean? It meant like this. That means, okay? So they had authority and power over that. So the centurion understood that. He's under authority. And any of us who don't want to come under authority, we're really saying, oh, kingdom of God doesn't work. It doesn't have authority. But God set church. He sets pastor, teacher, evangelist, deacon. I mean, it's all in the Bible. It's not religion. It's about the kingdom of God, which Paul received from God and set up. And you know what I mean? You can't not listen to that. It's the part of the kingdom of God. So I won't go too much, but you understand that a païen, that's a French word for Gentile. And Jesus was amazed. If we go down and see, it says, wow. I never thought a Roman could understand about the kingdom of God as much. But you know what he says? This man has great faith. The fact that he understood about the kingdom of God made his faith bigger. It's not so much that he had faith. He understood the authority that Jesus had. And God, listen, in a bigger package, he wants us to have authority in this world as a believer. You know, when you can share the gospel or pray for people, and people say, oh, there's something different about you. You have authority, and that's what Jesus had. Now let's look at another one. Luke 13, verse 6. And I'll try to hurry up and finish this. Maybe I gave you the wrong verse. No. Let me look. It's about the daughter of Abraham. Jesus healing the... I'll find it. I must have gave you all the scripture wrong there this morning. 13. And you know what? And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. Okay? There was a woman who for 18 years had been a sickness caused by a spirit. And she was bent double and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called for her and said to her, woman, you are free from your sickness. Okay, that's verse 12. And he laid hand, verse 13, on her, and immediately she was made erect again and began glorifying God. the master that teach the kingdom of God understood something. She was a daughter of Abraham. She deserved better than to walk like this all for 18 years. You know what? She was a woman that she had a covenant with God under the old covenant. But nobody understood the kingdom of God and was able to say, woman, you are free from your sickness. And she got up. And then he got in trouble after. We're not going to go there, but he got in trouble with the religious because he healed her on the Sabbath day. Okay. I'm just going to pass a couple of things. Citizen. You don't have the right to be a citizen. But if you are, you have right. Some of you are born in this country. Yeah, let me see your hand. Come on. Automatically, because you were born in this country, Don? Okay. Don too. Okay. And every one of you who were born in this country, with me also, we have right to be a Canadian, okay? Remember the soldier who stopped? Yeah, we have good right. And those rights, you know, you see a lot of stuff happening in the world right now. Immigrants are trying to come into this country or other country illegally, okay? They have no right. They can be deported. And that's the government of state, the government of Canada, or government over here. They have rules and regulation. They have authority, and they enforce it. Okay? But this woman, she was the daughter of Abraham. She had right. You are a son and a daughter of God, and you are a citizen of heaven. But you're living on earth, and you got to make your time on earth as precious and as good to bring the kingdom of God in your life and in other people's life. So we have to get rid of the church mentality in the fact that, you know, we're just come here to sit down and listen to some message. No, you are down here to change life. Your life and other people, because you begin to understanding the kingdom of God. Okay? So citizens have a right. Okay. Citizen does not fight. How many understand that? What do you see? What's happening in Israel? They're always trying to keep the citizens safe. Who fight? It's the army. We are not the army of God. It's not in the New Testament. Okay? Now, we have angelic power when you can call on them and they will come, and you can see it all over the... So we do not fight. Our battle is to fight the fight of faith and to believe God. Believe, okay? So in the kingdom, there's an army. Okay? And they protect the citizen. If I take the phone, Maria has a phone. You got a phone? Give me a phone. I'm not gonna delete all your email. If I dial 411, I'm gonna get the operator. What number do you want? But if I dial 911, I did that a couple of weeks ago. That was not very smart. I always mix 911 and 411. So I dial 911. Yes, what can we do for you? Where are you located? Blah, 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 blah. This guy shows up at the door 3 minutes later. What's happening here? Citizens have right. And whether it's the army or whether it's the police, they will protect you. So don't go around doing this. Now, if it's a little kid that dial 911. I said, help. That's how loud they're going to do it. Help. They're going to be there even faster. The siren's going to be a kid. It's calling 911, probably abuse or whatever. You don't have to speak very loud. Just one word on 911. And then you have the authority here. Because citizens have right. And they have the right to be protected. And they know that. So, okay, there you go. Thank you very much for the demonstration. Now I'm going to ask you something. Do you have right? You have right with the government of Canada, but you also have right with the government of heaven. And this may be similar a little bit, but not quite the same. Now, the army are not citizen. There's a word for that. What's it called? You have to be a... The army is not really a citizen. They are military. Is this what they call that? They have military court and they have military. If you go to the base, they have military everything. You know what I mean? And they will fight the country to keep the country safe. To keep you. Because you're a citizen. Say that. Citizen. Citizen. Say, I am. A citizen of heaven. I have right. And I don't know most of them. That's what's happening. That's why I want to teach you on the kingdom of God and the right that you have as a citizen of heaven. Because you've got to know your right. Now, I'm sure if somebody went to jail before, they stopped you. Did they ever put the handcuff on you? No, you're a good guy. Anybody had a handcuff put on? You did. They probably said, you have the right to call or whatever. I don't know. I forget. They say that on TV all the time. You know, you have the right to remain silent. Everything you say can be held against you, blah, 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 blah. You can call a lawyer, whatever. That's the right. See, they tell you your right. Even though you're a criminal, they give you the right. We're not criminal. We're God's people trying to live in the kingdom of God and exceed in His kingdom. I want to exceed. I only got so many years to exceed. I want to exceed even more. All right, let's go. I want to tell you this one. You know, at this church, we get people off the street sometimes. And we were doing a Bible study, and this guy come in. And he's about between 20 and 30, and his name is Brian. I mean, if he'd be here, I'd say it's not a big deal. And Brian, you know, he's dealing with stuff, coming out from another city, moves over here, and comes to a Bible study and really start to embrace God. Awesome. I didn't know about that. Start to love God. Never drank for 5 years. 3 weeks after, he's drunk. It's amazing if you get spiritual a little bit, or if you want to do the right thing, Satan come. He hasn't drank for 5 years. Now he's drunk. But while he's drunk, he has no shirt on, just a pair of pants, and he's upstairs.
And he's got the broom. And he's shouting things to the neighbor, and they think he's got a shotgun. Because he wants to stop at the broom, right?
And he says, go and... Because he hasn't drank for a while, he just lost his head or whatever. So we're coming for Bible study. It was Wednesday night, and the whole street was blocked. You know, they have squad now. Somebody has a gun, they send you a squad. They got machine gun, they're full of armor, they got a double barrel pistol, whatever they do. They come, why? Because the citizens are in danger. Their job is to protect citizens so the citizens don't get hurt. And they came and, poor guy, I mean, they shot him with those electric thing there. He was all burnt all over the place and screaming. And all he did is got a little overdrunk. Somebody called 911. And The rest is history. I mean, the whole street was blocked all over the place. They had police car there. They have a van with black thing. And I mean, it was, poor guy never did that again. But I'm saying that for you, that it happened. Somebody called the number. You don't have to say too much, because this is the kingdom of man. What makes you think that the kingdom of heaven is different? Remember one time I shared about that scripture. It's in Daniel. Do you have that, Daniel? Maybe I'm going to get it right this time. Remember Daniel? He prayed. He prayed to God and there was no answer for 21 days. Right? Remember? And then the angel came and says, Daniel, do not fear, for from first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God. See, I like that. Understand. Set your heart to understand, to humble yourself. Your words were heard. And I've come before you with your word. And I've come before. So another word is saying, see, there was the kingdom of Persia there. Right? You need a little sound here? Kingdom of Persia. And God sent the answer with an angel. Angel, our ministering spirit, to help those who are to receive salvation. Now, just if you start thinking about the kingdom of God, that you've got angel are sitting and listening to your words. And you're getting, I feel awful. Oh, I think I'm gonna lay down and go to bed. Well, they're not listening too much there, right? But if you get up and you say, wow, I know I don't feel good, but listen, I'm going to shake this off, and I'm going to just get up and go, and God, you know, heal everything what's happening in my body because I can't do nothing about it. You know what? Your words probably have more power. So what happened to the words of Daniel? He prayed, they were heard, 10, the red light is on, you know, the angel are coming down with, and there's a traffic jam. Now there's going to be traffic jam in your prayer. So finally, he called for, back up, call back up, and this Michael comes down. Nobody touched Michael. I mean, Michael, he's the angel. I mean, he unblocked any traffic jam. And he comes in and, you know, swept the king of Persia. Because we don't fight against flesh and blood, against principality, spirit, in high place, whatever. And he whipped them up and the angel come, deliver the message. The day he prayed, he was heard. And sometime there might be in your life time that, oh God, you didn't hear me. He heard you. It may not happen today, it may happen tomorrow or whatever, but he heard you. Your words have power to change things. And you know, we could teach on words and all that stuff, but listen, in the kingdom of God, you better know. You know what they say to the centurion? You know what he said? What you believe, I forget, we should read it again. You want to put Matthew 8, I think 8. I just want to get those words right. Okay. Okay, keep going. Verse 9. Yes. Okay. Okay, verse 10. Okay. Verse 11. All right. Verse 12. Okay, I think we must have passed it. Verse 10. 13. Okay, go your way. As you have believed, let it so be done for you. And the servant was healed that very hour. When did the servant get healed? When Jesus said, as you have believed, you know, he was healed that very hour. Now, if he would believe, well, Jesus, you can't do it. I mean, this is a big case. I mean, he was red when I left, and he was all swollen, or blah, blah, blah. No, he says, as the word of God was spoken in the kingdom of God with a man that had authority, it was done. You're that person with that authority, and I want you to understand maybe that you're just coming into the room and you got a set of key with you God's giving you, and we're going to be teaching on the key of the kingdom. And most of all, we're trying this key. Now what you do? Trying this key. I've got a bunch of key at home. I don't know where they go. I had them for so long. And you know what? Christianity becomes a way of life, and we just try stuff. Rather than go right to the king. Rather than say, listen, that's what he says. I believe it. And we go. Jesus said to Nathanael, I'm going to finish. If you stick around me long enough, you will see angel come down. And up and down, ministering angel. Okay? And he did. As a citizen of heaven, the kingdom, a citizen of earth, the kingdom of God, the words are very powerful. Now, we haven't touched. Do you know why David was the apple of God's eye? I didn't read it. I just kind of thought, it just came. What? Yes. But I'm sure you got a good heart, do you? You got a good heart, do you? Yes, you do. So why is he the apple of God's eye? Yes. Religion has taught us a lot of things. I'll tell you why. And I can prove it. It's because David was kingdom-minded man. Just like Jesus was a kingdom-minded person. David's kingdom. You know, the Bible says that he fought, and he subdued all his enemy, then he sat on the throne. That's what he did. And that's what we're called to do, is believe God, fight in the Spirit, establish the kingdom of God in our life, and live, and then when we're tired and we go home, we'll sit on the throne. Jesus did the same thing. He taught, and he did good thing, and he died, and then he rose again, and he went, and just the same as David, sat on his throne. Heaven and earth belonged to him. He had complete victory. You want complete victory? Somebody was whistling at somebody, or what? Nathan, I didn't know you did that. And that's why, because David was the first one to establish a kingdom which was according to God's kingdom. And you know, we could study the kingdom of David. You know, Solomon could not hold the kingdom together. He didn't fight. He didn't stand. He lived and he was wise and all that stuff, but everything fell. But not with David. David was a strong man. He's a kingdom-minded person. So are you. You just don't know. You are a kingdom-minded person. And it's all there. You've been saved by the blood of Jesus. And if you haven't been saved, well, don't leave this place without salvation, because it's a gift. It's the entrance into the kingdom of God. Let's not die in the main lobby. Let's go on. Okay, I'm past my time. So we're going to make mistake. David made mistake. Did you see? And you know, you can look at David's mistake, but God will allow for mistake. You know, God really loves you, brother. I don't know. There's things that happened in your past, I know that, but it's like he wants to open another page in your life. And you just got to allow him to. And don't be scared of that. He will do something awesome in your life. Just allow him to. So when all David's enemy was subdued, he sat down on his throne and he reigned. You want to reign? Then you're going to learn about the kingdom. You know, you can fall like David and do stupid things, right? But you get up and say, Lord, I'm sorry. And you go again. God is calling you to establish his kingdom upon the earth. He's calling me. So we'll be looking at different keys that you need in order to open doors in your life that maybe you didn't even know about it. We want to be kingdom-minded people. Amen. Let's stand. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Father, just open our life, Lord, so we can begin to think the way you think, Lord. I pray right now, Father, that the word that I said, Lord, that went in people's mind and heart, Lord, that, Lord, you would begin to water that seed, Lord. That, Father, they did not just happen to be here, Lord. There's a purpose for them, Lord, in this life. And I want to thank you, Lord, that you're building your kingdom. And, Lord, that the gate of hell will not stand against it, Lord. Amen. Thank you.